We are still, for the next few weeks, will be in the season of Epiphany. Hence the reason why we're still in white in church, and we've still got the crib up, and we're still burning the Advent candles, which we will do throughout the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, according to the OED, is two definitions. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, as represented by the Magi in Matthew 2, 1-12, or the Gospel, a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. Last Sunday, we reflected on the Magi being led, being called to come to Christ. We recognize that Christ is for all people, hence the paper chain that we have put around the crib, which, if you remember, was the last element of our 10 o'clock service last week, when we asked the question, what makes church? Not bricks and mortar, not stone and cement, but people, you, us. Today, on the second Sunday of Epiphany, we witness the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Immediately following his baptism, he calls the first disciples to come and follow him. People are drawn to Jesus, and he is calling them to be part of something. Something bigger than they can ever understand or ever comprehend, particularly at this moment. And so here we have the second definition of Epiphany, a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization, which is what the disciples have. As Christians, we are all called to be part of something bigger, bigger than us, to be part of a group coming together, being church. Because without you, without us, there is no church. Ultimately, we are all members of the body of Christ. We are to be his hands and feet in the world, in order to shine as stars, leading people to him. People often say to me, I'm a Christian. Why do I have to come to church? And I say, I don't. You don't. Don't all rush for the door now, quickly, as I say that. And I also say, but good luck to you, because your discipleship is obviously much stronger than mine, because I need to make my journey with Christ, with other people as well. Just like the model that Jesus gives us in our gospel reading, and exactly the model that we have in the Acts of the Apostles, when the first church is being formed. I often use the analogy, and forgive me if you've heard this before, because you probably have, I often use the analogy of a coal fire. If you have some coals in the hearth, you don't need many of them, but you have some coals in the hearth, and to kindle them, and they keep burning, and they keep the warmth, and they keep the warmth there, holding each of the coals alight. And if one of the coals falls out and falls to the ground, it won't be very long until that coal goes out, because it doesn't have the other warmth around it. It doesn't have the other coals around it. We are coals for one another, being with each other, helping to keep each other burning brightly, helping to keep each other going. And kept going we have. For 2,000 years, the Church of Christ has grown, and we are here, custodians of the message in our generation. We are called to shine out, to bring people to Christ, to be part of something more special than we can ever really know or understand. And we are all indeed part of something special, part of this church, which is part of the Anglican Church, a parish in the Diocese of Bath and Wells. Now, personally, I'm not a person who burns with fire wanting to know about diocesan structures. But what is important is to know that as a parish, we are part of something bigger. The diocese, the province, the denomination. Ultimately, one of God's children who express our belief and worship in this particular way. But, as we all know, we live in a challenging age. As many Christians do, and have done so for the last 2,000 years. According to the latest census figures, we are told that for the first time, less than half the population here in the United Kingdom identifies as Christians. That puts pressure on me and on all of us to bring the wonder and awe of God into people's lives, to spark their own epiphanies. Further to that, almost like a perfect storm against the parish structure, we have been through COVID, lockdown, and are now having a cost of living crisis. We are, all of us, having to think about our household budget, of what we can and can't afford, and what we must have as against what we would like to have. It is no different from the church in and of England and the parish of St. Martin's. You'll see a flyer in the newsletter that our treasurer John Banner has put together detailing the financial position of the parish and why the PCC has decided, regretfully, to pass a negative budget this year. With a projected deficit of £8,000, this deficit will be covered by taking £5,000 from the major repair fund and £3,000 from our general reserves. As we all know, this is unsustainable as we go forward. Any individual, any organisation that allows expenditure to exceed income only travels in one direction. We also have to be aware that this deficit budget is based on paying only 90% of our parish share. The PCC are, quite rightly, committed to paying the full parish share, increasing from 90% to 100% payment over the next 5 years. What is the parish share? The parish share is the sum of money we pay to the diocese to support ministry. This includes my stipend and housing costs, as well as us having access diocesan advisors and support officers, and sharing their expertise in things like church growth, youth work, mission, education, and the fabric of the church. And that's just to name a few things. Our parish share for 2023 is over £46,000 per annum. That is before a candle is bought or a light bulb is switched on. We have to find that money. Now, I have sat where you were sitting, I have sat in congregations and heard vicars and treasurers talking about stewardship and stewardship campaigns. I have sat there and have sometimes felt angered by them and upset by them. There was one time in particular when our girls were very young and I used to be paid weekly on those occasions. And if we managed to get to the end of the week with still some money in the family purse, it was a period of much rejoicing, or a day of much rejoicing anyway, until the next payday. Money was so tight for us then. And to sit in the church as I did, I was incensed by being told that I had to increase my giving to the church because I wasn't able to do so. And I also felt that what we were giving voluntarily was not being respected either. you all give so much already. You give of your time, you give of your skills, you do give of your money as well. So please, please, please do not think that I am saying you've got to give more money. What I do want us to do, though, is that I do want us to be in communion with one another and in communion with Christ. And what I'm asking you to do is to pray about it, to pray about the situation that the parish and the church across the land is in, and to reflect on what we are able to do. It may be that you do feel that you're able to increase your giving. Or, if you give by putting money in the plate, perhaps you could change to regular giving through the envelope scheme or by standing order directly into the bank account. And if you pay income tax, then do consider allowing the church to claim gift aid on your donation, where for every pound donated, the church will receive 25 pence. And it is significant, the gift claims that we can make. If you want any more information, then please do talk to John, our treasurer, or to myself. This sermon is about as far removed as a sermon that I want to preach as it is possible to be. Because I never want money to be the main focus of church life. I want to preach about being called. I want to preach about being loved. I want to preach about developing our relationship with God. But we do have to be aware of where we're at the moment. We do have to remember that we're called to be good stewards and to keep the word alive for generations to come. And to do that, we have to invest. Jesus calls us all to be part of something, and to be part of something bigger than ourselves. To be a community with one another, to support each other. We are called to reflect Christ's love to all people, and to ensure that generations to come will hear that call and will follow it. It is our responsibility to keep the star of Epiphany shining in this generation so that generations to come will hear the call to follow the true light and for their lives too to be transformed by the revelation of God's love. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you made us in your image and breathed in us a spirit of generosity that is both gift and response. Move us, we pray, to give as we have received, abundantly, generously, and joyfully, that our common ministry may ever bear witness to your unfailing grace. In the name of the three in whom we are one. Amen.